All right. Today is February 29th, 2016. Happy Leap Day. This is the October 2015 cohort, and today is Coach to Coach 3, Class 1 with Group C, and I am Chris Brandt. So hello, 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 everybody. I was saying to a few of you before the rest of you jumped on that I love Coach to Coach 3. It's my favorite, favorite, favorite thing to do, although I say that about a lot of classes, but this one's just dream analysis I just think is really rich and juicy. So I'm glad that all of you are here and that we're diving into this material. So a couple of things I wanted to just sort of bring up, and then we'll talk about any questions that you have, and then we'll make sure that we dive in. My goal today is to try and get two coaching sessions in, which with dream analysis can be a little tight. So we might only get one, but we'll see how it goes. The goal is to try and get to as many of these juicy dreams as we can. So before I get into all this stuff, though, I'm just curious, how many of you are vivid dreamers, remember your dreams, don't remember your dreams, have a whole dream journal full? I know I was talking to Jody, and she said that she's been listening to or working with Clarissa Pinkola Estes' work, and she's a Jungian analyst who talks about dream analysis a lot. So you might have varying levels of exposure to this stuff, and I'm just curious what the rest of you have experienced so far. Hi.
Hi. I would say I'm a vivid dreamer, and okay. I've been keeping a dream journal since, I think, September. I didn't know to do that before, so I read Martha's book, and then I was like, okay, I should keep a dream journal. And so I have, like, several dreams sort of stored up ready to be analyzed. I tried doing it myself, but I think that it would be more fun, and I'd probably get more out of it having a coach help me.
Well, I totally echo that sentiment. And I know somebody, I don't know if it was you, Jen, or if it was someone else, when I was looking at the discussion threads for this afternoon's class and then, you know, this evening's class, which I'm also teaching, somebody had said the same thing, and they had even gone so far as to try to look at a couple of the symbols and got the adjectives, but then when they started to ask the symbol questions, they were having a hard time because it is difficult to be the scribe while you're talking to your subconscious. It's asking a lot of you. So it's a little easier and I think a lot more fun when you have another coach work with you on that. So I'm actually glad you brought that up. I didn't post that,
but I did do some of the adjectives on my own, and then I was trying to do it by myself, but it wasn't easy to get the questions because I felt weird asking. I'm supposed to be the flight, and then I'm asking the flight, and then I don't know, it just seemed a little odd to try to get myself in. I could get myself in the character and get the adjective, but that was
well, and that's the thing. I almost feel like because you're trying to write or voice record, if you use a digital voice recorder or, you know, or your computer, it's almost a little hard because when you're speaking and writing, you're using more of your left brain. You're almost going into logic, and when you're doing this, you're almost tapping a little more into your right brain. It's not quite that concrete, but it does sort of lend itself to letting you jump out of character. So I hear you. I feel the same way. Before I jump in again, I just see that somebody else has joined us with a 650 area code. So if that's you, who are you? So I know you joined us. Last four numbers of your phone number are 6078, if that's you.
That's Simone.
Hi, Simone. Thank you. Just wanted to know who was here so I could make sure to check your name on the attendance list. Okay. So anybody else, comments about dreams. Are you experiencing vivid dreams? Or are you having a hard time remembering them? What's happening for the rest of you?
Hi, this is Cindy. I rarely remember my dreams. And I think I'm not a great sleeper. So I think that may be part of it. And like I said in my post, I have this weird phase of sleeping where I think I'm awake or I'm asleep, whatever, and I tend to dream in that phase, but I don't know if those really qualify as dreams or if they're just thoughts going awry. But
The short answer is yes. Yeah. Because what you're describing is a liminal state. It's almost as if it's not quite lucid dreaming, but it's kind of like lucid dreaming. So what you're describing is a transitionary state from full awake or awareness to sleep where you're not remembering,
okay.
you know, or you're not so not conscious, so to speak. So, yeah, that's definitely something that counts. But I, you know, I echo your sentiment about not remembering dreams all that often. That happens to me a lot. But one of the things that I've done to try to combat that, and I remember it started when I started teaching this class several years ago, I really wanted to remember, selfishly, just because, if for no other reason than as an instructor, if you're, by the way, if you're, I'm just going to stop for a sec, if you're making lunch or banging around in your kitchen, if you could hit 4-star to mute yourself, I'd appreciate it. For me, selfishly, I wanted to have a dream to remember in case the cadets in my group didn't have a dream that we could use for coaching during a call like this. So what I would do is I would, when I went to bed, so I was in bed, I was lying down, and I would set some intentions that I was going to have a restful sleep, that I was going to remember my dreams, that I would wake up and be able to hold on to the dream long enough to capture it in some way. And initially that didn't help at all. But over time it started to, because I made a regular practice of it. And I kept a journal by my bed. And then I realized that sometimes I couldn't read my writing. Like sometimes I would wake up in the middle of the night and I would try to remember, and I would turn the light on, and then it just felt so bright and I couldn't read my handwriting. So I switched to one of those little digital voice recorders, or you can even use your phone. You know, there's so much technology now. Tech way to do it, though, is there are actually pens that have lights in them. So if you wanted, like some people say, I don't want to wake up my partner in the middle of the night by turning on the light. So there are actually pens that have little lights on them if you want to try and capture them. So I've played with some of that stuff, and that's helped a lot over time. And I still don't remember as many dreams as I would like, because I'm pretty sure I'm dreaming every night. Most of us are, if not all of us. But that's some stuff that's worked for me. So I just thought I'd throw that out there for any of you who might not be remembering your dreams yet. Anybody else want to share something about how they're dreaming or what's going on in their dreams, that kind of thing? All right. Sounds like go ahead.
It's Lisa. I guess I'm not consistent. Sometimes I'll remember them vividly. It doesn't seem like they're filled with symbols in some ways. I don't know. They're not as, if I compare it to the recording of like the worms, the worm and the caterpillar, I don't seem to ever have dreams that are kind of abstract like that. I don't know.
There are always symbols. And I'm so glad you brought this up, because it gives me a beautiful thing to talk about in just a second. So thank you for that. Because it can almost get into, well, my dreams aren't as pretty as your dreams. Or I don't have weird symbols like you do, right? It's almost like a little bit of compare and despair goes on around dreams. And really the most mundane things can be really powerful. And sometimes things like nightmares. I had a client once who said, oh my God, I had the most horrible nightmare and I don't know what to do. And I said, well, why don't we do dream analysis? What's that? And so I spent a little time talking about it, and she said, I'm so scared, I don't want to do that because all sorts of bad things are going to come up. And I explained to her that very often, you know, these dreams are basically symbolic. They're metaphors. You know, this is the land of coach to coach three, and I'll back up into that in a sec. But what I said to this client was, often the scariest symbols have the most loving messages for us. When we can actually hear from the symbol's point of view what they came to tell us, or why they came to us, what they want to tell us, what they have to share, what's important for us to know, some really wonderful things can come out of it. And she wasn't totally convinced, but I guess we'd worked together long enough that she was willing to try. And I have to say, I don't remember all the details of the dream, but I do remember her reaction at the end when she went, oh my God. And I said, well, is that good? And she said, yes. I can't believe that that's what we got out of that pile, that mess of stuff. So there's no way of knowing when we're conscious and we look back at what we experienced in our dreams. We think we know what it means, but when we actually go in and explore it, it may have totally different stuff to tell us. There might be totally different meanings. So we'll get into that a little bit more in a second. Thank you for that. All right, so I want to back up for just a minute and sort of set the stage for what Coach the Coach Practicum 3 is all about. In Practicum 1, you got some basic tools, Say More, HAT, the five whys, Tell Me Where I'm Wrong, those sorts of things, the ways that we help clients access information and find the beliefs, the disturbing stuff that's lurking in there that needs some cleaning up. And in Coach the Coach 2, we very much focused on practicing how to catch thoughts, how to find them, how to work on that stuff and really help a client dissolve their suffering, dissolve their painful thinking. And squares 2 and 3, you know, that's all square one work. And the reason we spend 2 coach-to-coach practicums and 8 classes on it is because that's where our clients come to us. They usually come to us there because something's wrong enough or bad enough or feels awful enough that they want to go find somebody to help them. So, you know, that lays the foundation. Now what we're moving into is the square 2 and square 3 stuff. That's what we do here in coach-to-coach 3. So square 2 is all about dreaming and scheming. And as, you know, literally dream analysis would fall into dreaming and scheming. And it's all about starting to look at symbolically, metaphorically, what is happening in one's life and how do we use that to find the messages and the information that our essential self wants us to have in order for us to move towards our right lives and our North Star. So in these 4 classes, we're going to go over some tools that are much more, I like to call them intuitive. Not that the work isn't by any means or, you know, thought work of any kind isn't, but here's where, yes, today's class in particular has a chart, right? There's an actual template that we gave you that you can complete as you do dream analysis. But even with that chart, what starts to happen is as you speak to the symbols, as the coach, when you're speaking to the symbols that the client, you know, has become, there's a lot more intuition required in the sense of your gut might tell you to go in a completely different direction than you thought. You might end up having a conversation with a symbol rather than just asking 1, 2, or all 3 of those questions that are in the 3rd column. So this will make more sense as we go through all of Practicum 3, but today's class is really about focusing on dream analysis because it's foundational to dreaming, to square 2. So we very often find, too, that our clients start dreaming more vividly as they begin to process and clear out thinking and understand more about the work and the role that their painful thoughts and stressful thoughts play in their lives. So as they start to come out from under the cocoon, if you will, of square 1 and move into square 2, it's almost like their minds, their brains on all levels start to operate in ways that allow for more information to come that will guide them. And that's what dreams are all about. So with all of that said, I want to sort of tell you how we're going to let this class unfold. And really, I think we've got a delicious amount of stuff to work with based upon what several of you posted on the discussion thread. So what we're going to do is choose a dream, although we might choose one that's longer and break it up into scenes, if you will. I'm going to go back and read through the dreams with you in a second. But we're going to choose at least one dream, and then what I'm going to have you guys do is the person who dreamt the dream will be the client, and then someone will volunteer to be a coach. I would love to see one of the 4 of you who have not yet coached be that coach, because I'd like to, you know, help you along and give you the opportunity to coach. But, you know, again, I'm not forcing anyone. If somebody else wants to volunteer and nobody that hasn't coached yet does, we'll make all that work. But in any case, there'll be a pair. We'll have the client reiterate the dream to you, and then you will use the blank template that's on the learning space. Hopefully you all printed it out. If you didn't, it's okay. I'm sure you have notepaper nearby. You can make 3 columns, and you can make a quick bunch of lines across, and you'll have your chart, and we can talk about that in a sec. So that's what we're going to do there. I'm not going to demo the dream analysis process because you've had videos and stuff to listen to and watch, so you're good there. But here are the main things you need to know about how dream analysis works. So a client tells you about their dream, or, you know, gives you the actual information about what happened, and the second part of that is where the client becomes each of the symbols in their dream. So what you're doing there is you're actually having the client you're actually writing them down in the order that they appear in the dream. So if you're following along on that blank template, there's a column on the left that says symbolic dream element or symbol. And that's the column that you're literally just going down the left column, you're writing down what you see or hear in the order of appearance. Sometimes clients will email you a dream in advance. For example, Jen posted one of her dreams here. I copied and pasted that in the template so I could follow along. And then I grabbed the symbols and put them in the left column of the chart so that when Jen starts talking to us, I have all that information already written in so that when she starts becoming the symbol and then using adjectives to describe the symbol itself, I can go ahead and type that in. And then finally, the last column is about what the symbol is for, how it wants to help, what message it has. Those are the kinds of questions that you ask the symbol. You don't necessarily have to ask all three questions of each symbol. You don't have to ask them in that order. You may find that based upon what the symbol says to you, there's a juicy question that you want to follow up on, like why? Or it might be, how is that helpful to, in this case, Jen, because that's her dream that I'm talking about. So there are more ways that you can continue there, and you're just going to take notes in that space. I work predominantly with people on the phone, so typically if somebody says they have a dream, I grab a template like this and I start typing, and I tell them I'm going to type while they talk to me. And I don't have a noisy keyboard, so they shouldn't hear any clicking or clacking while that's going on, but I do say, if this is distracting, let me know and I'll stop, and I'll switch to handwriting. I just find I can type more quickly than I write, so that's why I do it that way. But basically, you've got your symbols, right? You've got them in the order that they appear in the dream. The symbols can be anything like people, places, things, colors, you know, all those sorts of things, tangible objects. But they can also be an action. And I say this with a little bit of caution because sometimes cadets get a little nuts and want to take every single – we are walking through the park. Let's use this, the act of walking. Well, really, walking through the park is sort of a sidebar to what's really happening in the dream. The park might be important, but the actual footsteps are not. So look at actions and see if they're worthwhile. You know, and you'll know over time, and as you hear the client talking about the dream, you'll get a sense of how much energy they've got behind this. If it feels like this was important, you'll be able to tell. But anyway, so you're grabbing symbols, again, people, places, things, tangible objects, that kind of thing. Or you may grab an action if it feels like it seems really important. And then you're asking those questions that are in the third column. I'm sorry, I skipped a step. You're asking the symbol to describe itself. Just some ways, some tips around asking the client to become the symbol. Many of you may have experienced this if you've already started practicing with a coaching buddy or with someone else. The first time you tell someone to become, you know, one of the items in Jen's dream is a hospital bed, so I'm just going to use that for the moment. You might say, become the hospital bed, and your client will say, I don't know how, or how the heck am I supposed to do that? Because it sounds really strange. So you might say, you know, I when we're doing this dream analysis work, some of the things I'm going to ask of you may seem a little strange, but I hope you'll hang in there with me, because what we're really doing is we're talking to your subconscious. We're talking to the part of you that comes out in your dreams, and it's not the part that typically hangs around during the day while we're being all logical and rational. So we're trying to get you to access a part of yourself that was much more present while you were dreaming. And so one of the ways to do that is to become the bed. And so if this helps you, try this. Imagine that you're in the dream and the bed is in front of you. Imagine that you're looking at it, you can see it, it's really, really vivid to you. Just imagine that for a moment. Now imagine that you walk closer and closer and closer to the symbol until you are actually merging with it. You melt away and you've become the bed. Imagine that you are the bed as it was in that dream. Just imagine that you're the bed right there in that moment. And what I'd like you to do is describe yourself, bed. So, bed, how would you describe yourself? Give me three adjectives to describe yourself. And that's how you're going to get them in there. Or what other way might work for your client. That's just one that I use quite often. So then you're moving on, and after you've got those adjectives, you're going to go ahead and you know, ask the symbol. You, the coach, is going to ask the symbol, in this case the bed, what's it for? How come it showed up in the dream? How does it want to help Jen? What does it have to tell Jen? What is it important that Jen know? That kind of thing. One quick note about this. Some of the dreams that people posted in a variety of groups on Coach the Coach 3 discussion threads today were quite long. And it can very often be very, very long when you do a dream analysis on every single symbol that it's possible to grab from that dream. So if you're in a situation with a client, you know, if it's your own dream, great. You can, you know, you have as much time as you want. But very often it can be exhausting for both you and your client if you extend the dream analysis for too long. And then you don't really end up with a lot of time left to debrief at the end, which is also really valuable. So if you're in a situation where, you know, you've got an hour, you've got half an hour because a client brings it up somewhere during the course of the session, what you can do is try to find the number of symbols that seems like you'd have time available to do and what your intuition will says feels like the big ones. So you might limit it to 3 or 5 or 6, you know, something like that. And again, all of this is stuff that I'm telling you, and I've been doing this for a long time. This may feel really complicated and difficult for you, but over time, this will all start to make more sense for you, and you'll find your way through this. So I realize I'm giving you a lot right now. So when you're meeting with your client, they're going to tell you their dream. You know, even if they sent it to you in writing in advance, what you're really listening for is what's going on in their voices or their breathing, or what energy are you picking up from them to see if some symbols are more interesting or probably going to give you more information than others. Add those down, write those down in your chart, and then you go through the symbols that you and your client, that your client mentioned, and see if they agree. You know, if you're going to use fewer than the entire dream's worth of symbols, you might say, these are the 5 that stood out for me. Let me just check, are there any other symbols that you think might be important? Do these feel important? And sometimes a client will say to you, that was just, you know, walking wasn't important. I think the park was. Whatever, right? So that's the kind of thing you want to go there. Once you've had the client settle in and ground and become the first symbol, the, you know, in this case, the hospital bed, you ask them the questions that I mentioned. You know, I'm the bed, and I am. I don't want to use symbols right now because this is a dream we're going to use. But let's say the client gave you 3 symbols. So then you're going to ask those questions or any others that occur to you. You're going to write down what your client says word for word. This is an exercise where you're going to spend a lot of time taking notes, either typing or writing, because literally the way that they say it is important. It's not your interpretation, so it's really important that you use the words that they say. And just important to note, sometimes a new symbol might emerge. Like while you're doing the dream analysis, suddenly something else might pop up. Go with it if it feels right to. Add it to the chart. That's fine. But you go through this process from left to right across the chart the whole way through the number of symbols that you've decided to use. And then when you're done with all of that, there are basically 3 different ways to do the debrief. And I'll mention all 3. We coaches typically focus on 2 of them because the third one's kind of a lot of work and, you know, there may not be enough time, but it's important that you know about it. So here are the 3 ways to debrief the dream. The first is to just get the client's insights. You know, what ahas did they get? What stood out for them? And those are the kinds of questions you ask. So what stood out for you about this? Any surprises? What do you make of what you hear here? And you might need to read it back to them before you ask that question. Some clients will be like, oh my gosh, wow, before you even get ready to read it back to them. They might be really, like, a lot of connections are being made in their own minds. In other cases, you might need to read it back. But the first step is gaining insight from the client, letting them share with you what it is that they gleaned from all that happened. The second is for you to share what your hunches are about what happened. And typically this is easier if the client is somebody you've been working with for a while. It's not at all impossible to do it with a brand new client. Either way, you can, you know, throw out a hunch and follow that up with a tell me where I'm wrong. You might have other intuition, you know, intuitive moments, my brain's running too quickly, that you might want to just follow up with them on. So it's really about, you know, what does the client make of this? What stands out for them? What stands out for you? When you hear the messages of the dream, does any of it tie back to their waking life, so to speak? Sometimes a client will say, oh my gosh, I totally get that that hospital bed represents my job. Again, I'm making it up. We don't know what it means for Jen. But the client may piece together, in my dream, this, you know, it's the bed, but I realize that in my waking life, that bed totally represents the situation at work. Okay, good insight. So that allows you to sort of follow up in another direction. The third step or possibility for how to debrief is to do what Martha talks about in Steering by Starlight, where she says rewrite the dream, where you're retelling the story with the meanings of the symbols, the adjectives, the insights, that kind of thing. And there's one in the Steering by Starlight excerpt where it's the guy with the bear in the car and all that stuff. Rewriting that takes a lot of time. It's not something you typically can do in a session. You might ask a client to rewrite it afterward. You might choose to rewrite it afterward. If it's your own dream, you might want to rewrite it after you've gone through the rest of the analysis. But that is the third piece. So basically from this point on, and as you'll see in the actual template that we gave you, there's a space there that says analysis. That's where you do the three things or two things or one thing that I just mentioned. And then the last step is really like a segue. How do you take the insights that you get from this dream and do into your world? What do you want to do with this? It could be that a client wants to take some kind of turtle step. It could be that they just want to sit with this and notice how those messages could play out in their lives. There are a number of different ways to go. A client might suddenly surface a limiting belief based upon something that transpired in this dream. So the important thing about the analysis is that segue afterwards, which is how do you take all the insights and the juice that just came out of this and do something with it that feels important to you and right for you to do. So I've been talking a lot, and I'm really curious to hear what you make of all this or what questions you have. How can I help based on all this before we jump into a coaching session?
Chris, this is Amerit. Can you hear me? Hi.
Sorry. Yes.
I just have a question. I was talking to people about their dreams, some friends, and what happens if there's the absence of a symbol? So they were talking about a dream, and they'd say, for example, I was showing a house, and the lockbox was missing. So it's something that wasn't actually in the dream, but it was something
yeah.
that otherwise
so the symbol
been,
is the missing lockbox.
Yeah. Is that still something you would use as
yes.
a symbol, even though it wasn't actually
sure.
in the dream? Okay.
If it felt important, you know, if somebody's a realtor and they're walking up to a door and a lockbox is missing, that might really, really be important. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And I might actually call it, okay, be the missing lockbox.
Mm-hmm.
Like I might use the word missing there just to distinguish.
Right. Okay.
Good question. Anybody else? Questions?
Yeah, I have a question. At what point, or is there a specific point, or would you just use your intuition, would you introduce this process to a client?
I will very often say to a client, when I sense that they're starting to move out of square one, I might say to them, you might notice that you're going to dream more. And you might want to consider keeping a journal or writing things down, because there's something that I can do something called with you should you remember a dream, and it might be really helpful and provide some good insights.
Great.
And that's
Thank
where
you.
I'll leave it. There are many, many clients who I have never done a dream analysis with. And I have a few clients that I've done, like I have one client I've probably done 20 or 30 with. And literally, I mean, I've worked with her for almost a year and a half at one point, and she was dreaming almost every other session we were doing dream analysis. And now, periodically, she'll email me and say, I had a dream I cannot figure out on my own. Can we have a session? And we'll spend the entire session on dream analysis. So she's a rare client. Most clients are not like that. I've had a couple of clients where we've done one or two dream analyses. So it's not, you know, I wouldn't say that I steadily use dream analysis across the board with my clients, but it invariably sneaks in when it's meant to. And usually it starts by them saying, man, I had this really weird dream. And I'm like, excellent, let's go. Okay.
Great, thank you.
You're welcome. Other questions? Okay. There's one other person who joined who's muted right now, and they have a 413 area code. The rest of their phone number at the end is 4812. If that's you, can you just tell me who you are so I know who joined the call?
Hi, it's me. It's Karen.
Thank you, Karen. Okay.
I was in kind of a noisy place, so it's best for me to be on mute. But I am here listening.
That's good. Thank you. I just wanted to make sure I knew who was around. All right. So if nobody has any questions, I'd love to get started on actually having a coaching session. So we can talk more about dream analysis later, but maybe it's time to do. So, Jen, are you willing to be the client given that you had a dream and you posted first?
Sure.
Okay. So who would like to coach Jen? I'd love to have one of the folks who haven't coached yet do it, if that's an option today.
Don't leave me hanging.
I was going to say, Jen's waiting with a dream here.
I have no problem coaching. This is Cindy, but I'm sure there are other people also who would like to coach.
All right, Cindy, we'll have you as plan B.
Okay.
Who else?
Cindy, I got
like
plenty more dreams for you to analyze when we practice.
All right. So, Simone, Karen, Zilke, any of you three want to do this since I don't think you've coached yet? All right, you guys, time's a-wasting. You know the drill. You've done this for 8 classes already. Who wants to step up?
Hi, this is Donna.
Uh-huh.
I'll step up.
All right, Donna, you will be the coach. So, Donna, do you have a template there?
I drew lines because, like I said, I have been in the hospital. So
I forgot it was you. Okay.
I am punting, but this is good for me because I need to just kind of jump back in.
All right. So Jen had a pretty long dream. There are lots and lots of symbols. I don't think we'll get to them all. So what I'd like you to do, Donna, is as you're listening, see if you can kind of, you know, you might be writing lots and lots of symbols, and then see if before you ask Jen which she wants to choose, see if you can come up with maybe 5 that feel like the biggies. And then you'll check in with Jen, because we're going to need to clip this a little shorter for the sake of time. Okay?
Okay.
And how this works. I'm here if you need me. I may very well interrupt if there's a teachable moment, but I'll try and leave you alone and just be here in case you need me.
Okay.
Let's plan on about a half hour, you know, and we'll see how it goes. 25 minutes to 30 minutes. All right?
Okay. All right. Hi, Jen.
Hi.
This is Donna. So I'm excited to hear about your dream. Can you tell us about it?
Yeah. So it was about getting on a flight to San Juan, and as I'm getting on, there's a hospital bed. And when I'm on the plane, I need to get a mattress for the hospital bed because it doesn't appear to have one. And it's sort of, I notice that it's inside of one of the seats of the airplane. And so I notice that also the mattress and the seats are the same color blue. And that's, blue is just like apparent in my dream. It's the floor of the plane is blue, like everything's blue. I'm not strapped into my seat while we're taxiing, and the plane seems to be going fast, and then all of a sudden this pressure hits me as the taxi, like the taxiing is happening, and I fall down. And then when I try to get to my seat, I notice there's a crewman in my seat, and I'm sort of pressed up against a wall, but I'm sitting on the floor, but I'm like kind of sucked up against the wall, and it's like an intense feeling. And then we stopped sort of abruptly to pick up a hospital passenger, I'm assuming for the hospital bed that we have, and I thought that I was alone on the plane because I didn't notice that I was traveling with anyone except for this hospital bed. But I get off the plane, and I'm sort of all of a sudden I see all of my belongings and my daughter Lucy's belongings, and we're sort of not in the airport anymore. We're like in a Sears department store. And so I lost Lucy, and apparently with another girlfriend. I realized that there's like a girlfriend that I'm traveling with also with my daughter. And I'm stressed out because I haven't packed anything for my trip, and I see all of our stuff kind of like spread out. And there's someone else there, but I can't really see them. I just know for some reason they're drinking beverage. And I don't know if it's because we're going to San Juan and it's like one of those umbrella drinks. I'm not sure. But they're sort of renovating the Sears store. So they're telling me that they're going to throw out my stuff. And this woman's like telling me she's angry. She's like, I'm going to throw out your stuff. It's been here already for a week. And it won't be here when I return. So if I don't like kind of get it all packed up, I'm in trouble. So then the airline crew comes out because the flight's leaving. And then I see my dog, Roxy, her leash and harness. And then I realize that she's with us too. And she must be loose somewhere in the airport. And I don't know where Lucy or Roxy are. I'm worried about them, but I'm not apparently worried about the friend that I'm traveling with. And the hospital bed sort of appears in the Sears store, and it becomes wet. And then I sit on the hospital bed, and I kind of step into the wetness somehow. And then I feel like...
Okay, I just need to talk a little bit slower. I'm writing as fast as I can, sweetie. So you're in the airport, and after the dog... right after the dog.
Okay. So I think that she must be loose in the airport.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know where Lucy or Roxy are. And I'm worried about them, but I'm not really worried about my friend that I'm traveling with.
Okay.
And the hospital bed appears in the Sears store and becomes wet for some reason. It just, I don't know if,
gets
I can't remember if it's water
in the Sears
on
store.
It just appears wet. Yeah, and then I sit on the hospital bed, and either I sit in it or I step in it, but I suddenly become wet myself. And then I was like, kind of feel it, and I see the wetness. And then the Sears store begins to resemble a hospital, and then I wake up.
Okay. All righty. Well, the hospital bed seems to be a real biggie as far as a symbol. Why don't we just kind of start from the beginning and I'll go through some of the symbols, and if I'm missing something that you go, oh, no, this is really important, then you just tell me.
Okay.
So I'm just going to ask you to relax and take a few deep breaths.
Oh, can I ask a question? Am I supposed to be writing this, or am I just supposed to be experiencing it?
I'm writing. You get to experience.
Okay.
So you just try to just relax completely, take some deep breaths, and kind of, you might, you know, sometimes when you first wake up, a dream has a feeling that just an emotional state that it leaves you in. So you can maybe remember the emotional state of how you woke up, you know, whether it was, and how your bedroom felt or your bed felt, whatever will help you just kind of get back to this dream, because it's probably been a little bit of time.
Mm-hmm.
So you might just relax a little bit and think about how you felt when you woke up. So
I can't relax. I can't relax if I think about the dream because it was unsettling. So I can be unsettled or I can be relaxed. Which one do you want me to be?
Okay. All right. We'll just be in the emotional state that you were. So
I'm
going to
interrupt because this is a beautiful teaching moment. If a client feels that a dream is disturbing,
it's really great to sort of tell them in advance, like, okay, so this may feel like it's disturbing on this level, and it might feel like you were really upset in the dream, but there might be some really wonderful messages here that we can explore. So I want to just invite you to look at the bed and become the bed, right? So you want to help the client remove their emotional judgment and the story they have about the dream, which is a story, right? So you just want to just let them sort of – so when they start getting like, oh, my gosh, I don't want to – it's going to be – right? That's when it's like, okay, so we're just going to ground ourselves right now, and we're going to find out what these symbols have to tell us. Because we think we know what they are when we're awake, but let's see if we can't just hear from the symbol itself. So if you say, when I woke up, when you remember that she woke up, she might have woken up scared or frustrated or, you know, so it's like we're, you're not going to take them back to where they woke up. Just let's go, let's hear from the bed. Does that make sense when you hear that, Donna?
Yeah, that's good. Thank you.
Cool.
Okay.
Sure.
And so Jen... let's hear from this hospital bed. You are this hospital bed. What do you look like? Describe yourself.
So I am the hospital bed. I am steel and sturdy. And I'm on wheels, so I'm a little bit not controlled.
Okay. So, steel and sturdy, not in control, hospital bed. What purpose do you have? What wisdom would you like to tell the dreamer? Do you have a message for the dreamer?
I'm here to give you some structure.
Awesome, hospital bed. Okay. Thank you, Jen. The next symbol is actually sort of is one of the harder ones that they say that I think maybe we should talk about the pressure that hits you and pushes you up against the wall. So can you become pressure that actually moves the dreamer up against the wall? Can you become that action of pressure?
Okay.
And describe the pressure.
I am the pressure.
You are the pressure.
I am forceful. I am launching. I am unexpected.
Okay. I have a little bit of a cold. I heard forceful and expected. What was the middle one?
Launching.
Launching. Launching pressure. Okay. Forceful, launching, expected pressure. Do you have a message
like a
from the dreamer?
I was going to say it's like a wave. I feel like I'm sort of the pressure as me as the pressure.
I'm going to interrupt.
Okay.
Your client just did something beautiful for us. She just demonstrated what it's a phenomenon that happens quite frequently with our clients. She started to say it, or wait, oh, me as the pressure. I'm right? That's our clue that our client's perhaps having a little difficulty being the actual pressure instead of observing it as herself. So sometimes this is where it's like, okay. So
pop in and out. Pop in and out of being.
That'll
yeah.
happen, yeah. So it's like, okay, then, so I'm hearing that you might have just popped out of character a little bit. So let's just settle in. And just so you know, like, again, your job is to take the adjectives off of it. So when you started this symbol, Donna, one of the things you said was, this might be a difficult one, right? Let that go. Like, okay, so one of the
Sorry, that's not helpful, is it?
Well, it's not a question of helpful or not. I'm just sort of helping you keep yourself as neutral as possible and to help the client
okay.
become neutral so she can be the detached witness, the compassionate witness for her dream instead of scared or frustrated or nervous Jen, right?
Yeah.
But it's very
right.
important in our languaging and in our the way we talk to the pressure. So pressure, tell me about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think I got lost when I was trying to explain what I was seeing when I was the symbol.
Right.
I think I popped out when I tried to describe it, but I was
yeah.
what I saw, I was in it. But I can't
yeah.
explain it.
Yeah. And that's okay.
I have to try to, yeah, okay.
That's okay. So right. when you're the pressure, it's not going to be what you witnessed as Jen. It's going to be, and that's where the adjectives can sometimes feel a little surprising.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just whatever comes up first for the client. I often will say to a client,
mm-hmm.
whatever comes up first, you know, I'm going to ask you a lot of questions as you become these symbols. Don't analyze. Don't try to...
Mm.
make me understand whatever comes out of your mouth first. That's what we're going with, right? So, again, I know I'm interrupting you a lot, Donna and Jen, but I'm doing it because you're bringing up such beautiful things that happen during dream analysis. So I'll shut up now.
Okay. So, Jen, when you were being the pressure, do those adjectives feel like they fit, or would you like to just be there, be the pressure again, and see what comes up?
Yeah, I am the pressure. I am forceful. I am diving. I am unexpected.
Okay. Forceful, diving, unexpected pressure. What would you like to tell Jen about yourself?
I'm here to keep you safe.
Okay. So, Jen, you said that you went to go to your seat. And there was a crew member in your seat. Can you become the crew member?
I am the crew member.
Mm-hmm.
I am an obstacle. I am not moving out of my seat. I'm just here.
Fear?
I'm here.
Obstacle, not moving out of my seat. Again, I'm sorry, I do have a cold. What was the last word?
I'm here, H-E-R-E.
Here. I'm here. Okay. Okay. I'm not a fast writer, so the next symbol... Were
hang
the
on,
belongings?
Hang on. You haven't talked to the crewman
about... Oh, I missed the message.
How he wants to help Jen, or what what's important for Jen to know.
That's right, the crew member. So, as crew member, what would you like to tell Jen that you have... What message would you like to tell Jen? Why have you come to visit her?
You can remove me.
Okay. All right. Is that all that you would like to tell Jen at this point?
Yeah, nothing's really coming up.
Okay. All right. So, Jen, the symbol of your belongings mixed with your daughter's being sort of spread out. Can you become the belongings that are scattered or spread out, not packed, however you... Can you become those belongings?
Okay. I am my belongings. I am scattered. I am basic. I am meant for warmth.
So, battered and basic and meant for warmth belonging. What have you come? What purpose do you have for this dreamer to know about?
I'm not needed is the only thing that comes up.
Not needed. Okay. Okay. So, Jen, Roxy, your dog, is loose in the airport. Can you become lost or loose? Not, I think you said the word loose in the airport, somewhere, you know. Can you become Roxy?
Okay, Roxy. So, I am Roxy. I am wiggly. I am loyal. I am fun.
Fun.
I'm going to interrupt here for a minute for two reasons. One,
okay.
Sometimes what happens in dream analysis is our clients will mm-hmm. describe a symbol as they know it to be. So I have a hunch that what Jen has just described is three adjectives she'd use about Roxy if somebody asked her to tell her about Roxy.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me where I'm wrong,
mm-hmm.
Jen.
Loyal. Yeah, I would definitely describe her as that.
Okay. So now I want Donna to take you through something a little bit different.
Okay.
I'd like her to ask you to become Roxy in the dream.
Yeah, I did this.
And
I told
what,
you I did
and what I'd like you to do.
Myself.
Yeah. And so what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to become Roxy as she is in the dream, or he.
He's not in the dream, though. But that's where I'm getting
well,
a little.
Well, but yeah, that's my point, right?
Yeah. So I did that in the dream. Before I got on the call, I did a couple of the symbols just to see if I could get the adjectives, and
uh-huh.
I did it that way, and they're embarrassing. So I.
That's good.
I don't want to say this.
That's good.
They were words like spunky and sexy.
I love it.
Uh-huh.
See, this is my
very good.
What you're bringing up right now is my point. Right?
It was sexy, spunky, and wiggly.
Well, there you go. And the reason I asked that question was because I had a hunch that she was just like, well, I would tell the mailman this. Not sexy, spunky, and wiggly. I would tell the mailman that she's loyal and whatever the hell else she said, right? Which I deleted as soon as you wrote them because I went, that's not what she's like, she's sanitizing
mm-hmm.
something.
Yeah,
well,
it was.
And the reason I bring this up to you guys, and I know I'm interrupting a lot, and Donna, you are doing a brilliant job. The reason I'm bringing this out is as you do this over to your clients, you will be able to spot, I think she's like detached, she's imagining her dog sitting in her kitchen,
mm-hmm.
you know, next to her while
mm-hmm.
she's on the phone with us, as opposed to who Roxy was in the dream.
Yeah.
And all she saw in the dream was Roxy's leash and harness. Roxy wasn't around. Roxy
mm-hmm.
flew somewhere in the airport or wherever Roxy
mm-hmm.
is, we don't know. But so the point is, be Roxy in the dream comes up with something different.
And
that's what
and
we're
just,
after, okay?
Just
so
you know,
just
I
picture Roxy in the dream.
Yeah.
Because this happens a lot
something.
With, like, husbands and kids and people they know well. They start to give them the attributes they would give them in their waking life.
Right.
And that's not what this is about. It's how did this symbol appear in the dream?
Right.
Make sense?
And this is not like a tangible, concrete, she was there doing something. So it surprised me to pick, you know, the Roxy for some reason, who Roxy was in the dream.
Yeah.
You know, my gut went, you need to ask this and skip over the angry woman, which is what in the natural I would, you know, think, oh, that's important. The angry woman's important. And I'm going, no, for some reason, this dog is important.
There you go.
Who
now,
the dog is.
Let's bring our client back and make her become Roxy in the dream again and ask her some questions around column 3, one at a time.
All right.
And see what comes up. We have no idea what Roxy wants to tell us.
Yeah. So, Jen, now that you are Roxy in the dream, wiggly and sexy and spunky, what does Roxy want to tell the dreamer?
Okay, so I am Roxy in the dream. I am
I'm going to interrupt for one sec. So here's just a little point. So, Roxy, what do you want to tell Jen?
Okay.
Right? So you're talking to Roxy.
I'm just trying to get back into Roxy.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to get back into Roxy, so I'm repeating it.
Perfect. Perfect. So just remember, like, it's
Roxy.
Okay, so Jen,
what do you want
Roxy,
to tell Jen?
So,
yeah. Okay.
Okay. So I am Roxy in the dream. I am wiggly, sexy, and spunky.
So, Roxy, what do you have to say to Jen?
The only thing that comes up is dance.
dance. That's good. That's good. Okay. So we're going to look at the hospital bed.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Nope, I'm done.
This is where?
I'm done. I'll tell you later.
Okay, all right.
Keep going. I've decided that we're going to continue on with this dream. We're just going to do one today.
Okay. So we're going to look at a different hospital bed that is wet. And you are the wet hospital bed. Can you describe yourself, wet hospital bed?
Okay, I am the wet hospital bed. I am blue. I am wet, and I'm soft like a sponge.
So blue, wet, soft like a sponge, hospital bed. What do you want to say to Jen? What is your purpose for Jen?
I'm having a hard time with this one.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing's really coming up.
I have an idea.
Hey. Okay.
How about asking Jen to become the wetness?
Mm-hmm.
And instead of asking for what its purpose is, ask what it wants Jen to know. Just see what happens. I have no idea if it's going to work.
Okay. So, Jen, as the wetness, what does the wetness want Jen to know?
Okay, I am the wetness.
Adjective?
I am clear and sort of kind of thick. And cool.
Okay, clear, thick, cool wetness. What should Jen know about you?
I keep seeing a light through the wetness.
So the wetness is revealing light?
You okay. Are revealing light?
I am revealing light.
I'm talking to the coach.
Oh, sorry.
Yep. So the wetness is
the wetness? Are you
have
a conversation
light?
With the wetness, Donna. You're having
Thank
a conversation
you.
With the wetness. Okay.
Okay. Wetness, are you revealing the light or are you the light?
I am revealing the light.
You are revealing the light. Okay. So clear, thick, cool wetness. You are revealing the light. Is there anything else that you want to reveal to Jen in the light?
Come
or through. Say to Jen about the light?
Just come through to the light.
Come through the light?
Come through to the light.
Come through to the light. Okay. Okay. So, Jen, because of time, I'm going to ask you to maybe end on either the symbol that is most emotional or resonates with you, the symbol of being in a Sears store or the symbol of being in a hospital.
I have a question for you. I'm going to interrupt for a second.
Sure.
So if the wetness was at the end of the dream, why would you go backwards to the hospital or Sears? I just want to understand your reasoning, Donna.
I guess the reason is because I've been in the hospital 10 times having surgeries, and mm-hmm. hospitals are a wealth of messages for me personally. And
yeah.
so that's my own could be blind spot, but hospitals, you know, I mean, it really could be a blind spot, but, you know, that's why I asked her, because I didn't want to end up in a blind spot.
Okay.
But
yeah, I was really curious to hear why you, and the reason I'm asking is because if we're going in the order of the dream,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, that like Sears came well before this. So if you're going through go ahead.
Maybe I wrote it down wrong, but I thought at the very end of the dream, she said, I'm in a Sears store that turns into a hospital at
God.
The end
so
of the
So there's your answer. But there's your answer right there. It's both, right? So it's the Sears store that turns into a hospital. It's one symbol.
Mm-hmm.
Right, but
the
I'm in
Sears
the Sears store. I'm in this.
Got it. Okay.
I'm in
so
the Sears
I missed,
store
so
when
I
I'm looking
it.
Through my stuff. But I'm
Got
in the Sears
so,
store when I'm looking through my stuff. So the Sears
yeah.
store comes before the hospital. So I'm still in the Sears store when the hospital bed becomes wet.
Got it.
And then it
got
becomes
it.
The hospital.
So there
and
you
then
have
it.
Got it.
Hospital.
So I got confused. Okay. So
okay. Yeah.
Again, in the interest
I actually
of time,
thought...
I'm going to stop us here. Okay.
Okay.
Because we're at 2:50, and we still have loads of debrief to do and lots of questions.
We do.
And I want to pull the rest of the coaches on this call and see what other symbols they were curious about. See what they're noticing. So we have lots and lots to do.
Okay.
So at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Let's have you start debriefing with Jen about what transpired so far. All right?
Okay. So, again, because of the state I was in when I was listening, do you read, like, the messages sort of do you read those back to the client, you know, of this dream is here to give you structure, to keep you safe?
Here's
to
what
know
I would
that
do.
You, How do you
here's
do
what
that?
I would do. So I would
okay.
say, okay, Jen, so you, here's what transpired. You know, we first talked to the hospital bed who said that it was still sturdy and not in control. And it says that it's here to give you some structure. And then
mm-hmm.
there was the pressure of the jet that said it was forceful. And so I'm literally reading it and saying, here's what it had to say to you. And I'm going through it. Like
so you go through the adjectives
right.
and the message. Okay.
Go. I
All
just
right.
go through it, right? And realize
right.
it's as you're doing it, it's really about, I mean, and I sometimes will say this to a client, but right now I'm talking to you coaches, so, you know that. The second column is really actually can be looked at in a bunch of different ways, but what we can look at is how it is a part of the client. Jung said that these adjectives very often represent a part of the client that the client has not been willing to reveal to the world yet, or that is less expressed, is more a part of their subconscious and is ready to come forward. So there's a part of Jen that is steely, sturdy, and not in control. There's a part of Jen that's forceful, driving and unexpected, and so on. So you'll get to all of that later, but first what you're going to do is you're just sort of saying, we heard from the hospital bed that was the following things, and it said this. We heard from the jet next, and it was described itself this way. And then that's where you pause. You know, after you've read through that and you say, so, Jen, what do you make of all this? Any insights in there for you? That's where you start to have a conversation around what happened. And you can very often at that point, when you chime in after she's had her insights, you can chime in about what you noticed. And we're also going to invite the other folks who are on the call to share some of the insights that they had and what they saw. So for those of you listening, I want you to be prepared to speak up about that stuff in a little while. Okay.
Lovely. Okay. So, Jen, the hospital bed, as I am hospital bed, said, I am steel, I am sturdy, I am wheels not in control, and I am here to give you structure. The pressure, I am the pressure, was forceful, diving expected. And that pressure says, I am here to keep you safe. The crew member, when you were the crew member, the crew member said, I am obstacle. I am not moving out of my seat. I am here. And the message from the crew member was, you can remove me. I am my belongings. The belongings are battered and basic and meant for warmth. And the message was, they're not needed. And when you were Roxy, and Roxy has to say, I am wiggly and sexy and funky and I dance. And the wetness was clear and thick and cool and says, I am revealing the light, come through to the light. So, Jen, what does your dream want you to know?
So I think, and it's interesting because I analyze different things in the dream, but this part of the dream is definitely telling me that I need to come out of my shell. In a group of people, I would rather be like a fly on the wall. And I guess I should be dancing and coming into the light.
Is there anything else that kind of bumps out, you know, pokes you a little bit in the way that you described anything? Sturdy, but not in control, you know? Here to give you structure, here to keep you safe, and yet
something. Well, I think the hospital bed and the pressure are what is my social self, and then I think the not the belongings, but the Roxy and the wetness are my essential self, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm. So I'm curious, is there an obstacle that is actually in your everyday life that says, I am here, I'm an obstacle right here, that you are looking at saying, you know?
I think my shyness is my obstacle.
Okay.
Okay. Look at this. I don't know if that's the only thing that could come to me that would make
sense. I'm curious. This is not even a hunch. It's just curious. For some reason, you have these belongings, and yet the message is they're not even needed. You know, they're supposed to create warmth.
Well, the
for
belongings
you.
Are clothes, so like maybe I'm just gonna take it.
Not needed.
I don't know.
seen as your essential self. Wow. Mm. Yeah. Well, Jen, you and I really don't know each other at all, but I just want to say thank you for being so incredibly brave and vulnerable to be first of all, to share your dream out there with all of us. I think that's really brave, and to be willing to just really reveal yourself with who Roxy really is, sexy and spunky. I love that. Because I really think that the crew member, when you were the crew member, part of you, your social self, your shy self is saying, I am not moving out of my seat. And yet you're on an airplane. You're actually going somewhere. And so my hunch, Jen, is that in this course, you are going somewhere, and that there's all kinds of pressures, but these pressures are actually to keep you safe as you unfold your essential self, and that you're just in this really moving place where, you know, there's all kinds of pressure, and it's actually in the dream, the pressure pressed you up against a wall. And I almost went to the wall. That was a big symbol that I skipped just because of time, because I wanted, what is the wall? You know, that me. And the angry woman was another big symbol that I skipped because of time. And because I'm wondering if you did the symbol of becoming the wall and becoming the angry woman. Anger is quite the emotion to become. And a lot of times it's surprising what's underneath anger that is awesome.
Hey, Donna, I'm going to interrupt you because we have 10 minutes left. Let's wrap
I will
this
be quiet
up in terms of how Jen will take this on into her world. Just see if there's anything she wants to do with this or... And there may not be, but just let's do that. And then I want to debrief with the group.
Okay. So, Jen, how do you think you're going to look at this dream and take it out and look at it and, you know, process it in your daily life?
Let's see. I wish we had done this on Friday, because on Saturday I went to a birthday party with my daughter, and I literally walked in and I let my daughter go play, and there was all these parents there, and I didn't really speak to anyone. I was like, I felt like a fly on the wall. And so I guess the next opportunity I have to not be a fly on the wall, that I should say something or, I don't know, engage. And the other thing is like, even with coaching, I really enjoy the one-on-one, and I don't, like, I dread the workshops, like, to, you know, the idea of putting myself out in front of a lot of people, so.
Fascinating, you guys. Look at the beautiful stuff we just got. So if you were segueing off into another part of a coaching session, and I'm asking this question of everyone except Donna and Jen, because they've been talking a lot. So we want to open up the floor to somebody else who's listening in. So if you at this point had just heard your client say what she said, what might be a way that you would move forward if there were time in the remaining time in the session, which there would be since they've only been talking for about 40 minutes? Anybody else? Insights, questions, ahas that came up as a result of some of the debrief and what Jen and Donna just said?
I think I would question her about just flat in my head, I'm sorry.
That's okay. It might come back, Cindy.
Well, this is Melissa, and I don't know. I think I would want to know more whys about her not putting herself out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that could be a great place to start exploring. Somebody else, anything else that popped up? Jen just said a key sentence right at the very end, which made me stop and interrupt. And that was, it's the workshops that I dread. So
yeah.
Jen may have a belief that she has to do workshops and a whole bunch of beliefs around what workshops mean.
Good point.
So you might be right onto thought work right there. You never know.
Yeah.
Right? And I haven't asked Jen, by the way. So we're just pretending Jen's in a little bubble at the moment. Was there anything that came up in your mind, Donna, when Jen said what she said during the debrief, some of the things that went on or what happened at the end?
I guess I wanted to or wondered what adjectives she would come up with the word shy and how she feels about shy. Is that a really good thing? Is that an awful thing? Is that a limiting thing? You know, and kind of work around, you know, is shy so terrible? Or is that really a gift?
Yeah. Well, and it's not about what you believe about shyness or what you think is a gift. And, you know, but I agree. It's around how do I explore what shy means for Jen?
Yeah.
That's beautiful. Love that. Yeah. And that might be you might come up with a bunch of limiting beliefs. You might might come up with some social self stuff as she started to allude to that in the dream analysis about some of this feels social selfie and some of it feels more essential selfie. Mm-hmm. You can explore, you know, I mean, it was very light at the very end of the analysis when you threw out a hunch about the belongings message that they're not even needed. And Jen said something, she started laughing and she said, well, the belongings are closed, so maybe I don't need those and I'm supposed to be naked. You know, and you guys were giggling.
Mm-hmm.
But naked is symbolic also. It doesn't mean Jen's going to go be a nudist. It could be, what does being naked mean? What does being naked look like? And I don't mean wearing your birthday suit, you know.
Yeah.
How else in
yeah.
your life are your clothes unnecessary, you know? So there's lots of, you guys, everything in here is symbolic. We've just been scratching the surface of what's going to go on in Coach the Coach 3 in terms of symbolism. And in our next class, we're going to talk about the metaphor tool and doing metaphors, which is, of course, just one big honking symbol. So everything that's happened here is representative of something else. You know, there's a story about a hospital bed and an airport and a dog and a crew member and a pressure, but all of it has messages. So I love what you did here, Donna. You were so damn patient with me because I just was all over you during this process, and that's not easy. So I apologize for my diving in so much. And I just wanted to share a couple of things that I noticed. And again, I want to open this up for conversation with the rest of the group in a second. When you're talking to the symbol, you're asking the symbol to describe itself with three adjectives, right? So when you get to the part where you're in column three, you don't really have to ask the symbol what else the dreamer needs to know about the symbol. But you can ask, so what is your purpose in the dream? In other words, why did you show up? That's when we say, what is the symbol for? It's really, its purpose is, why did it come in the dream? What is its purpose? I mean, I had a dreamer once say to me, it was a bicycle, and the bicycle said, I'm here to move the dreamer from one point to another. Okay, you know, from, and that's great. Sounds really utilitarian. That's what bicycles do. And then when we put it together with the adjectives and some of the other messages, that made a whole lot more symbolic sense when we debriefed. So when you're asking the symbol questions about its purpose, like just you had a lot of one-sentence responses from your dreamer. She was like, oh, I got this. And then there was a lot of silence. And that's okay. You want silence. You want to just sort of say, is there anything else you need to tell the dreamer? How are you here to help her? Like if I asked no other question of a symbol, even not even the adjectives, the most important question, I think, is to ask the symbol in some way, shape, or form, how are you here to help the dreamer? You
That's
came
a beautiful
to help her
question.
You came here to help her in some way.
Mm-hmm.
How do you? What are you here to help her see? What is the message you have? The helpful message you have for her. And then, like, there was a point I was dying. I was like sitting on my hands, going, "Chris, shut up!" And I did not interrupt you when Roxy said dance. And I so wanted to ask Roxy, why should she dance? What's good about dancing, Roxy? What can you teach Jen about dancing? Like something like, remember, you're having a conversation. Like, I know this is the first time you're doing this. You're filling out a chart and a notebook. You've got a teacher who's constantly interrupting you. You've got people listening. It's such an unnatural environment. So I get why it didn't happen. You didn't do a thing wrong. I'm just sort of pointing stuff out so that as you start to practice this, you can really kind of make it your own. And just I want to talk to Roxy because Roxy is sexy and spooky and wiggly, and she's got something to say because the first word out of her mouth was dance, and it was with an exclamation point at the end. You know, you could feel the energy from Roxy going, okay, honey, come on out and dance. Right? So that's all.
Yeah.
Like with the wetness, it's like I'm revealing the light, come through to the light. Cool. When Jen comes out to the light.
What
do you see Jen in the light
again,
looking
like? Again, I didn't want to keep going on, but Jen's exact words were, I need to come out of my shell. You can't dance in a shell. There's no room. You're completely rigid and confined.
And all this stuff is beautiful. That's exactly the kind of stuff that you start saying. And we discovered about her shyness, right? She told us. So you had all this beautiful stuff to work with. And I hopefully, if Jen even said, you know, I didn't analyze this part of the dream. I think on some level, Jen was being guided to share this or have this part of the dream analyzed now because she's ready now.
Yeah.
I could be totally making that up. We have no idea. But, you know, it feels right. So I have talked a lot. What else do you guys who have been listening in and Jen and Donna have to say about this? What questions do you have? I'll shut up.
This is Lisa. And
Lisa.
To your last point, Chris, this is what I noticed at the end of the debrief. Jen said, I wish we had had this analysis Friday. So I interpret this as she really wants an excuse to get out of her shell. Like this, and this exercise was kind of like, okay, now that I've done this, I've confirmed to myself that I'm okay. I'm allowed to dance and come out of my shell.
So what do you make of that, Jen, what Lisa just said?
She's right. was,
okay.
I was in the party on Saturday trying to figure out how I could come out of my shell. What could I say to someone? How could I strike up a conversation? Mm-hmm. And by the way, Lucy was dancing.
Oh, funny.
Oh. Oh, that's beautiful.
So it's almost like dance is there's this metaphorical dancing that's coming up. There's this metaphorical nakedness that's coming up. There's this metaphorical light, right? It's all these positive, inspiring little messages that may find their way to you during the course of this week now that you've had this conversation with Donna. So I think this is cool for you, Jen. I hope you do too.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Somebody else was about to speak. I think I heard somebody.
Yeah, this is Jody. And just as an observation that I'm processing listening to this is when we did the Byron Katie work, it was so helpful. Like, we learned it cognitively, but then, you know, we learned, actually, this is a meditation that you have to feel more than you have to think through. And I felt the same way. It's a little bit of a misnomer calling it dream analysis, because we think we have to analyze and be analytical. And I can, in the coach, and I know I do that when I hear dreams, I instantly go to my interpretations, or I think but what I've noticed is, you know, seeing it more as a meditation, like feeling, what does that, you know, feel like in your body to think of your dog dancing or to think of yourself, right? Like kind of moving it away from analysis and into more of a meditative.
Yeah. If anything, I think you bring up so many good points, Jody. Thank you for doing so. I think the chart is the part that feels analytical, in the sense that there's to some degree, a linear process, right? You go from left to right, you fill in the boxes, you ask some questions. So, yes, there is a bit of a process to it. But the debrief, you know, it says analysis on the form itself, the template that we gave you. I would change that to debrief. Because really what you're doing is you're having a conversation with a bunch of symbols. You're just, it's very intuitive on the part of the coach. And then when you get into the conversation with the client, right, not the symbols, the client, is where it's so much of a meditation for all the reasons you described. Yes, yes, yes. This is where intuition is going to play a huge role. Your marmoset that you learned way back in Coach the Coach 1 really comes to the fore here and is just like, ooh, I'm curious. That Roxy's spunky. I want to find out more about her, what she's got to say. Because she felt essential selfie to me, too, at least while I was listening to Donna and Jen. And so that's where I wanted to go immediately. And it may be different for the rest of you. And I'm curious, were there symbols, you guys? I know Donna shared a few symbols that she would have wanted to explore had there been more time. Were there other symbols that you guys were curious about as you were listening in?
I was curious about the airplane.
Aha. Uh-huh. Say more.
Who are you asking to say more about the airplane?
The person who said they were curious about the airplane.
Okay. You meant me.
I thought it it was part of the trip. And I just wondered what significance it had. And she was alone on that part of the journey, too, so.
Uh-huh. Okay. Cool. Anything else spark curiosity in you guys? And if not, what other questions can I answer for you? What other observations would you like to share? I realize we're running over time a little bit, so thank you, everybody, for hanging in there. These classes may tend to run long because they're so rich in terms of stuff that comes up. Questions, comments, observations.
So this is Jen. So I actually did the analysis myself on flight San Juan plane and getting. And it's so interesting because when I was doing that, I would never have guessed that when we went and did hospital bed pressure, crew member belongingness, that they would have had anything to do with each other. But now I'm looking at it going, wow, it's totally has to do with all of that. Like,
isn't
I was thinking,
funny?
Oh, maybe it's a whole different thing.
Yeah, it's so funny what another set of eyes on your dream will do. We said at the outset, somebody had said, you know, I find it kind of hard to look at my own dreams, and not only for the reasons around writing and what happens in your brain while you're doing that, but, you know, it's just other people can feel different energy and they can spot things that maybe we can't spot for ourselves. I mean, that's the very definition of what happens when coaching's going on a lot of the time. So I love that for you. I'm glad that happened for you.
Yeah. It's really very interesting. Like, I'm looking at all the ones I already did, and it's like so just leading me down to this. So it's great that that Donna picked the one she did, because those were actually the crux of it.
Cool. Cool.
So
and
good
maybe by opening those, unpacking those other ones a little bit, you set the stage for this. So it all worked out. I love that. Mm-hmm. Anybody else, before I let you go, I'll talk to you a little bit about what we're going to do next time, but I just want to make sure we've covered dream analysis. There was an awful lot to talk about today.
It's fun. It's really fun. Even though I feel like I haven't, you know, gotten the resources and done my homework and been prepared. It was just fun to jump in and play with who our essential self wanting to come out and be known. It's so exciting to me that this is what we get to do, you know?
Well, I love that you said that, Donna. And, Jung talks about the subconscious, you know, the parts of ourselves that have been masked for a long time or that want to come to the surface and be known. Some people say that God is speaking to us in our dreams and that third column filled with messages is spirit. It's the universe. It's bigger than all of us put together. You know, there are many different ways to interpret this. I think whatever comes up is really important, and however the client describes the symbol and what the client, as the symbol is saying and as it's describing itself, is important. So if you walk away with nothing else from this class, it's really important to just say, so belongings, tell me about yourself, describe yourself to me. So belongings, what is it that you want Jen to know? So you're having a conversation with that symbol. So belongings, what is your purpose in coming here? How are you here to help her? That's that's really getting at it. And then later on when you're talking to the dreamer, in this case Jen, you can really go, wow, it's fascinating what those belongings had to say, huh? What do you make of that? You know, you can play with it so many different ways. And that's where that intuitive stuff happens. That I forget who said it was, I think Jody said it was, was coming up before. That's where you really can dive into the richness of it. And there's always this little sneaky thing that comes in right at the end. I mean, literally one of the last sentences that Jen said was, I'm really scared about workshops, or I don't want to have to do workshops, or something around workshops. And I went, we're off to the races. There's a whole other part of a coaching session right there if we want to go there. And lots of you talked about what you would do with that. So cool.
So, this is Jen. I just wanted to say one more thing, that I was a dreamer, and she's asking the symbols, the questions, and as the answers are coming, I didn't string any of that together until Donna actually read back through what she heard from, so like the recap part of it was actually what made me cry, because then I realized it was about my shyness. I would have never, even going through those things, I never would have thought it was about my shyness.
When you start to hear the entire conversation, that chart, when you just start to hear it, and the coach doesn't have to embellish a lot or add a lot to it, because the richness came from you, inside of you. You know, it's
but
all
there. I couldn't
there.
See it myself, which is
and we may not understand it.
She showed it to me.
yeah, exactly. And that's like a beautiful case of mirroring right there, right? I'm just repeating back to you what came out of you. And now let's talk about what you make of this. And then we'll talk about maybe some things I noticed or some questions I have for you based upon what you just said. And that's where it gets really, really rich. So very cool. All right, you guys, so really quickly before next week, or rather March 14th, we've got a couple weeks in between, please practice dream analysis. You can see that, I did a hell of a lot of interrupting of Donna. Be patient with yourselves. Know that this takes some practice, that over time this will feel more and more comfortable. And there are plenty of you who posted dreams and Seven League Boots interpretations, visualizations, here on the discussion thread, and we didn't get to them today. Go find a friend, one of your fellow cadets, to do the analysis and practice with you on it. It's really, really juicy stuff, and I would love for you to work with that, because at the beginning of our next call, we're going to talk about dream analysis. Just, I want to hear your questions. I want to hear what you're struggling with or what you're surprised by or what feels like it's juicy and you want to just share about. That's what we're going to do at the beginning of our next call. Also, we're going to start talking about the metaphor tool, and that's going to be the focus of the next class on the 14th. It's about symbolic, and there's a document that's part of the handouts for that class that actually is called the Dream Analysis versus the Metaphor Tool document. And in there, if you look at that, I'd love if you would read that, because we're going to talk about that a little bit too, about what's the difference between the two tools and when you use them. So that will help a lot as you, I'd like to think of dream analysis as a little more square two and metaphor as a little more square three, but that's just the way I frame it. That doesn't necessarily mean you only use one in one square and you only use one in the other. We're never that absolute about this stuff. So have a listen, have a look, watch videos, read up about this stuff, and get ready for metaphor. Post your questions about dream analysis in this class, because I'm actually going to start a new thread for the metaphor tool class. Each of the Coach the Coach 3 classes will have their own discussion thread, because there's so much that we start to talk about and there's so much to post that we actually separate them out by class in this particular practicum. So I will be watching and listening on the discussion thread. Sorry, I think somebody just tried to ask something.
Yes, it's Jen. I just wanted to ask really quick, for the 7-leak boots, are we supposed to use this dream analysis on what happened in that day sort of dream?
Thank you for bringing that up. I forgot to talk about that. So 7-leak boots visualizations are actually a form of a waking dream. It's a guided visualization. You're not sleeping. So it's like a waking dream, and you can use the dream analysis tool on what transpired and came up in your 7-leak boots visualization. So if you were in a forest, you can become the forest and, you know, go through the process. If you saw a dolphin, you can become the dolphin. If you received a golden box, you can become the box. They're shorter. They're often fewer symbols, but you can use the dream analysis tool on the results of your 7-leak boots visualization if you'd like to, just to see if there's more data there. So 7-leak boots is a form of waking dream.
Thank you.
Thank you for asking that question, Jen. So you can use those too if you'd like. All right, everybody, I kept you long. I apologize for that. Feel free to post on the discussion thread. If you think of something later on or during the week or until the 14th, by all means, post there. And if not, I will see you on the 14th. Take care, everybody. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.